on page 8. We're going to be skipping a little bit. But Tzadik Gematul Zilber has been teaching us a tremendous insight. We're going to tie it all into the way of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, that there are two ways of redeeming ourselves from midas that have been hurting us all of our lives. There's the way Tikkun HaMidas Derech HaGuf. Derech HaGuf, meaning using all of the strategies at our disposal, what we've heard in this farm, what makes sense to us, what Seichel tells us, to fight against kas, anger, and gaiva, and conceit, and jealousy, and laziness, and so on, which is very, very important. And throughout our lives, we constantly have to work on all of those, using those strategies of Seichel. That's a method of Tikkun HaMidas, the guf. The guf includes Seichel. This is different from the way that was brought down by the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. Again, the Baal Shem Tov didn't discover this. This, of course, is the way of Pnimius HaTorah from Rabbi Shimon Vayuchai and the Ari HaKadosh, where Tikkun HaMidas takes place by a person becoming an Ish Neshama, by each and every one of us trying as much as possible to have a much bigger perspective, a perspective that comes not from Seichel, not from the Guf, not using all the practical strategies that are of course important and effective, but by entering into a place within ourselves that takes us higher than all of the ugliness, the pettiness, and silliness of these midas. Now, the root of this, of course, is before the Baal Shem, before Rabbi Shimon, before the Ari HaKadosh, and before Rabbi Shimon. It goes back to Maimon HaSinai. And it's a question of how did Hashem Yisbarach give us the Torah. He also gave the Torah in two ways. It was one Maimon HaSinai, but people heard it in different ways. So on page 8, on the left-hand side, Hagilui Shamatan Torah. The Sherish HaDvarim Hu, Ki Be'ez Shabach HaBanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'yoyim Chasunasoi Zematan Torah. When Hashem set us aside, He chose us on that day, which Chazal referred to, the Pasuk in Shir Shirim, Yom Chasunasa, the day of the wedding. Our Chasna with the Kadosh Baruch Hu took place on Shavuos. That was the wedding. Oz Gilu Ritzaynai, then Hashem revealed His Ratzon, Shebochar B'Klal Yisrael, that Hashem Yisbach chose Klal Yisrael l'schaber imahem bekesher shel b'yom chasunasa. Hashem revealed to us a remarkable thing, that He didn't come at Har Sinai as a teacher, as a Rebbe, that also, but primarily He didn't come as a teacher, as a Rebbe, as a mechanech, as a madrich. Hashem Yisbarach came on the deepest level. Hashem Yisbarach came as a chasm. We know that. He came as a chasm to Kal. The whole Shir Shim is on that yisod of the chasm. Kedugmas hakesher shevin isha labayla. That means the ikur is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to have a relationship with us, which we can best understand through that moshul of Shir Shim of a husband and wife, of Chasen Kal. Shiyeh his chabrus amitis l'klal Yisrael l'makadosh baruch Hu. Hashem didn't want just to give us over Torah mitzvahs as instructions, as a manual of life. Hashem Yisbarach came to have a relationship with us. Chasen Kal. V'his chabrus amitis haynu sheniyah mevinim al elokus v'al ruchnius. And a true his chabrus, a true Kesher with Hashem in this way of Chasna means that Hashem wanted that Jews should have a Mevinus on Elokus, that we should be Mevinim, we should have a connection to godliness. Not just that we follow orders, which itself of course is a chashuva thing, not just that we blindly follow orders and they were obedient or good students or good soldiers. Hashem Yisbarach wants on the highest level for us to have a real relationship with Him and to have a Mevinus, a Lelukus, v'aruchnius. V'yilanu shaychus v'kesher atzmi im harban shalom. V'oifen shal v'yem chasun aso. That each and every one of us should have a personal relationship with him in that way that's called Yom Chasun Aso, the day of the wedding. And that's the main thing that Hashem asks of each and every one of us, that we should have such a relationship with him. Of course, in the absence of that, if a person is not on that level, then one needs to be a loyal soldier, a servant. But ideally, that relationship of Yom Chasun Aso is how Hashem Baruch wanted to live with us. And that's why when Hashem Baruch came to give us the Torah, he said, you shall be a mamleches kohanim, a nation of kohanim, a kingdom of kohanim, the goy kodesh. Therefore, we find that in the Aseres HaDibris, Nikra Shenikra Kadosh Baruch Hu Kel Kano, we find that Hashem refers to himself as a jealous God. Kel Kano. Which of course doesn't mean in human terms, but why did Hashem use such a way of describing his relationship with us? Just like with a husband and wife, there is this faithfulness and this exclusiveness, so that if chalila one goes to somebody else, there's kinah, there's jealousy. The kashihi mizana takta, if chalila the wife is unfaithful, that unfaithfulness shows that she is lacking in ne'amonis to her husband. That's something which is very personal. It's something which is very intimate and private between the husband and wife. K'maychein, misha chayte, so too. Hashem revealed himself in such a way, v'kel kana is a jealous God, to teach us that misha chayte, that a Jew who, God forbid, sins, ma'ara shechose b'ne'mon shaloi, l'gilu shamatan Torah. On the deepest level, it doesn't just mean that we were disobedient. It means that we were unfaithful. It's different. It's an unfaithfulness, and it means that we don't understand really what Maimon HaSinai was. We don't understand the depths of Matan Torah, that it's not a big classroom, Matan Torah. It was a big chuppah. Ve'enu meivin al erech ha-gilui shel Matan Torah. It means the person doesn't understand the nature of that gilui, of that revelation of Maimon HaSinai, of ani l'doidi v'doidi li, of all of the psukim in Shir HaShir. And how Hashem gave us himself, gave us Elokus. Anoichi, as you all know, the word Anoichi, Hashem Lokech, Anoichi is Anon, Napshi, Ksavis, Yavis. Hashem says, I gave over my soul to you. We know that many of the customs and the laws of Achasna, we learn that from Maimon HaSinai. Even carrying the candles, the Tashbeit, all the saints, even carrying the candles down to the Chuppah. That comes from the fire that was at Maimon HaSinai. Many of the customs and the halachas are drawn from that first chasna of Hashem and Knesset Yisrael. So a person whose entire Yiddishkeit is a Yiddishkeit that is dry, that's empty, that's rules, regulations, that's just using those strategies of how not to get angry by applying this strategy or that strategy, or how not to be jealous by focusing on this and focusing on that and so on. Again, all of those are emergency methods, there's no question. We have to be as obedient as possible. But anybody whose Yiddishkeit consists only of dry laws and rules, and there's no personal, intimate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that individual has missed the main attraction of Maimon HaSinai, has missed really what Maimon HaSinai is about. Baruch Hashem, Shem Shabbos, Davins, does the mitzvah, it's a chashuva thing. And Hashem rewards each person for every mitzvah, there's no question. But as far as the tachlis of Maimon HaSinai and the tachlis of creation, he missed the chup. Veino chai bezgalosu, he doesn't live in that hisgalos, in that way that Hashem revealed himself as a kel kana, as a husband, as a chasm. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gila emes amuka kezayish la'anoich Hashem alokecha. And Maimon HaSinai, Hashem revealed this truth of anoich Hashem alokecha. And he said it in the singular, not elokechem, but elokechot. He spoke to each and every one of us. All of our neshamas were there. And Hashem spoke to each and every one of us, and he says, I want to have a kesher with you, a personal kesher. Yes, that kesher consists of Shabbos and Yontiv and so on and so forth, all of the mitzvahs. But it's not a matter of obedience, it's a matter of love, of panim al panim. The b'chinas panim b'panim dibra Hashem imachem. That's why it says, it's coming up in Parshas, that's coming up now in Dvarim, in Parshas Vaschanan. That panim b'panim, dibra Hashem imachem. Hashem spoke to us panim b'panim, like two people who love each other, who are able to look at each other in the eyes. Panim b'panim, dibra Hashem imachem. V'enu meisim liboy lehimoshach acharei avelich yezba. And a person who doesn't live that way, and whose Yiddishkeit is missing that, and simply does not pay attention, he doesn't live in that relationship. Just like you have many husbands and wives that they live together, but there's nothing real that's between them. It's not a relationship upon them. They're married and they could have a family. And it could be the last time that there was upon them was by the chasna, by Sheva Brachas, but they don't live in a way of upon them. I explained some years ago, that's what the Navi Yirmiyah complains, and he says, in the name of Hashem, Ponu Eli Oiref. They have turned their backs to me. What does it mean, Ponu Eli Oiref? So the Balatanya talks about tshuva, the meaning of tshuva. And he says the whole concept of tshuva is odd. It means to return. But how do you return to God since it's impossible to go away from Hashem? He's everywhere. How do you go back to him? He never left you. So the answer is the same thing. You have a husband and wife, and they never left each other. They're married for 50, 60 years. But their relationship, in the relationship, each one has disappeared. Meaning, physically, they're both there. But emotionally, they're totally apart. Panu elai oiref is the opposite of panim b'panim. Panim b'panim means when two people are facing each other. They look at each other. They talk. They share. They love each other. Panu elai oiref means that Hashem is telling us, I know that you keep Shabbos, and I appreciate that. And I know that I know you're putting on tefillin, and I know that you're trying to be good boys and girls, and that's very, very chashuv. But I miss the romance of when we began. Just like you could have, this will happen very often, that you'll have a couple where one will say, I don't know, there's something wrong. The other will say, what's wrong? I make a panos. I provided a beautiful life for you and the children, and he doesn't get it. And the wife says, I appreciate all of that, but I'm looking for something more than just having a nice home and being provided for. I appreciate all of that, but I was hoping when we stood under the chuppah that we would continue to look at each other in that way for many years. And instead, the matzev is a matzev of ponu elai oiref. Hashem has gave us the Torah, ponu b'ponim dibra Hashem imachem. That's what he gave us the Torah. And he wants our Yiddishkeit, the Yiddishkeit of ponu b'ponim dibra Hashem imachem. It wasn't just a one-time thing. It's a relationship. V'inyin ha'gilui shalpanim b'panim hu, ki hine b'inyin ha'emunah yesh ba shnei madregas. There are two ways in emunah. There are two levels, basic levels of faith. Yochel yais echad sh'yemeh sh'yesh alikim ba'ilam. One type of emunah is the belief that God exists. V'yavi kamarayis n'chaychas al-kach me'etzim ha'briyah. And this person who believes in God's existence, will bring many proofs from the world, from nature, from Bible codes, whatever, that God exists. Shebevadei shum dover einu nasa me'atzmai, nothing happens on its own, nothing, the world is so unbelievably beautiful and complicated, so there's a creator, and there are many, many such proofs for the existence of God. Page 9. V'royim sh'ha'olam nivne im seidim asudav einu hefke. Anybody with eyes, anybody who's not poisoned by all kinds of person in the geist that blinds him to the obvious presence of God, sees that the world the world is filled with God. The Seder, Ve'ein Bira B'limanik, like Avraham Avinu understood, it's not Stam, there's a Balabas over here. Chadayim. Va'af Omnam Shagam Ze'emes, and of course that's true. That's true. All of that is true. God exists, and the world is the best proof of God's existence. There are those who like to refer to history and the miraculous existence of the Jewish people. And then when the codes came out, whatever it was, like 25 years ago, that caused the whole big tumult that you count every 50 letters, and it says this, and it comes that, and you see the Torah, that only the Creator could have made such a thing as the Torah. Say that. This also is true. Amnam Shagam Ze'emes. This is true. The Chelek Me'emunah Kedosha, and it's part of our holy faith. But if that's your emunah, if your emunah is based on that stuff, it's a big rachmanis. If your emunah is based on codes and on sunsets and snowflakes and the structure of molecules and so on, if that's the root of your emunah, and if that's what you need to get you to daven, to get you to cry at Kever Rachel, then it's a big rachmanis. That's not called panim upanim. I could say that all the years that I'm teaching, which is already over 30 years, in principle, and it might sound odd, I've never agreed to speak in a way of proving God's existence. For any of those seminars or any of those organizations that wanted me to be part of that and to speak about the codes or to speak about proofs and so on, I never ever agreed all the years to talk in such a way. All of our conversations about Yiddishkeit begin with what? With panim upanim. If someone's going to ask me whether or not my wife exists, so Baruch Hashem, she's sitting right here, that's not a matter of ontological proofs or history or science or math. There's a relationship. It's something which is personal between two people. So when one's entire faith is based upon codes and molecules and so on. Again, that's part of emunah, not to say that it can't be used, that I'm not in any way saying what those people are doing, speaking to others, and I'm just saying it's not my personal taste. But the fact is that those seminars can wow people and excite them, but to sustain a relationship with God, that doesn't come from proofs. That doesn't come from proofs. There's panim upon. There's a chasm. Ki adayin ein rayim es hadavar ba'atzmai. With all of the proofs, you don't feel God himself. You don't have a kesher with the Baruch Nishlam himself. It's all in seich. It's all part of the guf. But tzrichim l'havi rayis, do you have to bring proofs? It's embarrassing. It's bizyonis that we have to talk in such a way. Oh, you know, there's no choice. But to talk in such a way, to have to bring proofs that there's a Baruch Nishlam, it's embarrassing. The second way of faith that comes from the chelikil kamimal, that comes from the inner essence of a Jew, which is filled with elokus, which was present at Maimir HaSinai. There you mamish see Hashem, not anything physical. You don't have to bring proofs. You don't have to take out a blackboard and a ruler and a calculator. You don't have to look up God, a Google God on the computer to find out that he exists. When Mashiach comes, everybody's going to see God that way. It says in Navi, Ki ayin b'ayin yir b'shuv Hashem, this time of the year is a tikkun. Tammuz and Av is when our eyes are repaired. This time of the year, our eyes are filled with tears. Eini, eini, yarda mayim. We say on Tisha B'Av. Eini, eini, yarda mayim, our eyes. The eyes of Leimenu. Eini, eini, yarda mayim, eini leirakos. The tikkun is, ki ayin ba'ayin yiru b'shuv Hashem tzin v'sechazen eineinu b'shuv chalutzin b'rachnem. Is that the eyes don't see what's obvious. A person who can't see what's obvious, you have to bring all kinds of proofs and explanations and so on. But ayin ba'ayin means panim b'panim, eye to eye. Even in English, when people see something eye to eye. Sharei nir ayin ba'ayin. V'agili hazeh shel panim b'panim, doshal kadosh baruch hu matan Torah. That's how Hashem's Baruch came to us by Matan Torah. V'hechnes gilu yizeh b'Torah mitzvahs. And Hashem poured that love, that relationship into Torah mitzvahs. V'chayim l'hiskash l'Hashem's Baruch ha'idei liman ha'Torah. There's no greater opportunity to have hiskashes to Hashem than through the study of Torah, which Hashem's Baruch gave himself into the Torah. And in every word of Torah, there's an ayin ba'ayin yiru to see. Ayde kima mitzvahs, and living a life of Torah mitzvahs, but a lebedikah Torah mitzvahs. But they kol hakedushas shenos l'kash baruch hu l'klal yisrael, and all of the ways of holiness that Hashem has given us, all the way down to the every tiny little minig that we have, every little Jewish gesture, every minig. Actually, also chen l'chol goy, that no nation in the world has any of this. Rak eschem yodaiti, as it says in the pasuk, Rak eschem yodaiti, I only know you. That lashon of knowing is like it says that Adam knew his wife. It's very personal. It's very intimate. Rashi says, chivavti means love. Chiba. Mikol mishpachay sa'adam, the Navi says. Rak eschem yodaiti, mikol mishpachay sa'adam. Hashem is the creator of the entire world. All nations could also look at the Grand Canyon and believe in God. They could also look at codes and believe in God. But Rak eschem yadaiti, that's das, yediyah, that's a chiba, that's a kesha, that's a relationship of yoim chasunasa. Ukishechad mazniach es hagilui hazeh, and when a Jew ignores this gilui, this revelation of Hashem, v'nemeisim alibay luchyezba, and he doesn't think about it, he doesn't live that way. And he doesn't connect, attach himself to this way of Yiddishkeit. And this is something that doesn't, he says, doesn't speak to him. It's like it's something that doesn't relate to him. It doesn't connect to him. Hagili shemunach b'chiyus odivei Torah. It could even be a person that knows how to learn. It could be someone that knows a lot. And that could say a fancy shiur, but it doesn't speak to him. He doesn't hear the Dvar Hashem in a personal way, speaking to him, to his heart. He doesn't feel upon him when he learns Torah. He doesn't feel upon him when he learns Torah. B'chiyus shel mitzvahs. Therefore, his mitzvahs are without chiyus, without life. B'chiyus shel kedushas Shabbos, kedushas Yontif. He keeps Shabbos, but Shabbos is without a chiyus. It's dry. It's empty. A yontiv is dry. V'chol ha'advar makadoshim pshehinuchol gashboruch harakul klayis, and all the holy things that Hashem has given over to us, it's all, doesn't speak to him. He does what he has to do. Nothing more. Tries to be yotzei, but without a chiyus. It's not panim upon him. It's panim alei oiref. It's the same thing as the wife saying to the husband, yes, I appreciate you do what you're supposed to, but I was really hoping for something much more than that. As I feel in Yagila Muna Ayide, Shayashti says Yesidis Amuna Al Yoni Ha'ilam, even if a person believes in God, and that belief is based upon all of the evidence of the world and of history and so on, the Yahka Vyedis Kola Shikas of Philosophias, Bin Yoni Amuna, and he has studied and investigated all of the different shitas in philosophy. Binyone Yamuna. Like I mentioned, I don't know if I mentioned here the first week, but that difference between, I think I did, the conversation the Baal Shem Tov had with that Lamdan, where the Lamdan asked the Baal Shem Tov, what is Amuna? And the Baal Shem Tov said, well, what does Amuna mean to you? He asked this Talmud Chacham. And the Talmud Chacham went into a 45-minute summary of all the basic views of the Ramban, and the Rambam, Rabbein Bechaya, and so on, all the different shitas of what Emunah is. And then he asked the Baal Shem Tov, and Rebbe, what's Emunah by you? And the Baal Shem Tov said, by me, it's the feeling that I had when my mother carried me in her arms when I was a baby. That's what Emunah is. And that's the Lashon of Emunah. V'hi oimein es hadasi, he asked it. Emunah, omenes, means to nurse, to nurture, to care for. That's what Emunah is. And it has, therefore, the first two letters are Ein, which is a mother. And the Baal Shem Tov said, that's what Emunah is to me. Now, that doesn't mean the Baal Shem Tov didn't know all the different shitas. The Baal Shem Tov was a genius. He knew all the shitas. But you're asking me, be'emes, be'emes, where do I take my emunah from? I take it from being in my mother's arms. And knowing that Hashem Baruch's arms are those arms of my mother, the arms that carry me, the same arms, throughout my life. So such a person, who's yachke v'yedis, kol ha-shitas and philosophies, he might know all the shitas and philosophy. He's not faithful to that great outpouring of love and intimacy that Hashem revealed at Maimon Har Sinai. He's unfaithful. He might be a big philosopher. Can you imagine if somebody, it's their 50th wedding anniversary, and the family, whatever, friends make them a little party, a surprise, and afterwards they come home, and the wife says to the husband, so you're happy, we're married 50 years? She says, sure I'm happy. Where else would I have had such delicious kugel if not for you? Who would have taken care of the children if not for you? Could you imagine? Do you think she would go home after that 50th anniversary? She would go to sleep that night feeling good? She'd be at Tzibroch Nakeli. That's after 50 years. So he feels it was Kedai 50 years because he had someone to change the kids' diapers. And then when they got older, to take them in the carpool and so on. And she cooks me a nice kugel and she makes a nice Shabbos. Thus is thus. It's the whole thing. And she says, what else? Oh, I almost forgot that you clean very nice. Very, very nice. I never had a problem. So, again, everything is being done the way it's supposed to be done. That's not what it means. That's not what it means. Panim b'panim. Hashem Baruch didn't get into the business for that. And after all of these years, if that's what we have to show for ourselves. So somebody shows up for davening. He's officially in shul. And his wife is at home so proud of it, tzaddik, that he's in shul. Because he officially showed up. He might be standing outside that door. He might be standing inside this door. I don't know if the women ever came around at that time on Shabbos to see what's going on outside the door, outside the shul. Or even in shul, what's going on. Hashem Yirachem. The good people, the wonderful Jews. All of these people, wherever they are. Everybody has their own inyan, and we're standing outside. It doesn't, not only by shul. So, because officially you attended Shabbos morning davening. It's panim b'panim, a relationship. V'al zeh mekanei Hashem Yisbarach. And it's Hashem Yisbarach describes himself at Maimon Har Sinai as a kelkana, as a jealous God. Can you imagine two people having a conversation during davening? Kosh Baruch Hu says, you came to shul, this is a Beis Elokim. I thought that we're going to have a little bit, some private time together, some quality time, like they say in the Veld. I thought we're going to have some quality time. And he's talking to the yokel next to him about the economy or about the Yankees. Because everybody in shul becomes very, very big mavinim. And every single thing in the world on the national debt. Hashem Baruch said, you came to my place. I thought we're going to fabrang a little bit over here in shul. I thought you're going to put the talis over your head and there's going to be something real and something personal. So Hashem Baruch says, I'm a kana. I'm jealous of the guy next to you. I'm jealous. Kivyoch. Of course, doesn't mean like a human being. Kivyoch ha-kabal ha-mekana li-ishtai. Like the husband who's upset and jealous that his wife, Shaizeva, says, Oluf na-ureha. Va'ilech is liraiz besod ha-zamad chalila. She leaves her husband, goes off to somebody else. Va'zeh omar kosev. It says in Sheshim, Samuni na-teiris ha-kromem, kami shalila na-tarati. Karmi shalila netarati. Lods, I samunik neteres akromim. Karmi shalila netarati. I am watching all of the other vineyards, but my own vineyard I'm not tending to. I'm not tending to my own vineyard. She'encha meaning she'encha hila bekerem neta neman shnitim lecha. So Hashem is saying to each and every one of us, sure, you're involved with everybody else's kerem. You're involved with every other vineyard in the world, but karmi shali. But the kerem that we have between us. It's not being guarded. It's not being watched. Megardless, harbors the bottom over there on the right side on page 9. Megardel, his harbors, so Gashbaruch, Kaisel, you kelkan alze, so oizev, as his harbors as ois, he is harbors as ois, he is harbors chazok adlamoid. And if Hashem is broch kivyochel, is jealous. because of this hischabrus, because the only time there's that kind of feeling, kivyochel, with jealousy, is when there's a strong kesher, and the other one, that's us, is unfaithful. Hashem wants us to understand, to think about Elokus, to think about Him. And what? And Shani Nemonim Lazen, to be faithful to that relationship. And this takes us back to all that we were talking about. It's not just when it comes to believing in Hashem and having that faith that we're describing in Hashem. It comes to everything in Yiddishkeit, including what we're learning now, Tikkun Amidus, including working on our Amidus. Hashem Baruch wants us to look at these things, at our personalities, at our Amidus, not in a way, not in a small, childish way, and with this strategy, and this Mahalach, and that Mahalach. Hashem Baruch wants us to see ourselves in a way, in an exalted and higher way, to look at who we are. That we're Hashem's boss kala. That what kind of people are we? We have neshamas. Sheyanachnu goy kodesh. You're a goy kodesh. What are you acting this way? What are you screaming and what's the matter with you? You're a goy kodesh. Now I should tie a red thing around my finger, and every time that I get angry, I'm going to make it tight until it hurts. It's narishkeit. Okay, sometimes you have to do that. With children, you have to treat them that way. But Hashem Baruch was hoping that we would be a kala, and a kala is a higher inyan, and there's his chabrus, there's his kashrus, and a yid has a neshama, and he's in contact with that neshama, and that makes him into a dohim, into a higher person that has to have all kinds of little things to remind him that he shouldn't scream like a lunatic. And a goy kodesh, umutal lein liyos kedoshim b'chol inyanim. A goy kodesh has to be halig in everything that we do, to be different. To be different, how we talk, how we walk, how we dress. You have to start talking, you have to sit in high school or in seminary and scream at girls for 6 months, for 3 years, about their sleeves and about their stockings and about their socks. It's bizyoinus. It's bizyoinus. Besides, it usually doesn't work. But it works, it makes the other way. But it's bizyoinus. If you talk to the neshama of a Jewish girl, there were tzaddikim that know how to do that. To talk to a holy child, a Jewish, a girl, a child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a kala from the Bar Yoilam, and to explain to her what it means to have a neshama, and that she should feel that she's somebody that's different than other people, and that she herself wants to act a certain way, and wants to dress a certain way, instead of throwing her manual at her when she comes into school and saying, here, do this, do that, or else we'll throw you out. Not the chalila, everybody does that. But there is such an inyan. Umutal inyan yas kedoshim b'chol inyanim. There's a different way that a ben melech, that a bas melech, there's a different way, a kala. Even a girl who, when she was growing up, had inyanim. But she's a kala, it's a different parasha. B'chol ha'maisim shanu ha'aisim, with everything that we do. Not because you have to have a manual and a guide and a million punishments to and all kinds of things and strategies and so on. B'chol ha'diburim shel medabrim. How does a Jew talk? You have to have special, you have to put on the wall a list of words that you should stay away from. These are diburim, these words a firm person shouldn't say. But nowadays, I'm sorry to say, you can hear people that they're shomer mitzvahs, they talk, it sounds very little different from going, except they might not use certain obscenities. And even those have crept in different ways. But let's say, without the obscene words. But in every other way, what's the big chilik between how a Jew talks and how a guy talks? What's the big chilik? I mean, when you see it, when you hear it, it's very beautiful. And and we appreciate it. B'chlamidah shalom ha'egim b'an. B'chol mini ha'kedoshah shekidish b'em Hashem Yisbarach is klai Yisrael. Hashem put a lot into us with all kinds of kedusha and all different things to give us an ability to help us to be kodesh, to be different, to be holy. Hakavana b'hemisha ha'odim ye eloki. The tachlis of all this is that a human being should be godly, plain and simple. And again, not that it's simple to become that, but that's what Hashem wants. Or that as a result of that chibur, of that kesher with him, that we should become people who are elokim, who are godly people. Therefore, a person who is godly thinks about things in a different way, in a higher way. It's just, it's a different way of looking at things. Omidas acheres v'nalois yanhigu oisai. And there are different midas that guide this person's life. Different midas that guide this person's life. A different way that guides this person's life. He has a different mahalach. He goes in a different way. Kol tikun amidas. V'chol inyonei ha'avayda tzichim lias mushroshim u'miyusodem al kedusha zu shamatan Torah. Therefore, the way that we're talking about now, this way of tikun amidas, avayda and midas, and everything, the shorish of it has to be in this way of matan Torah, which is ponim upon him, which is yom chasun also. U'meseches avos, therefore, mesechta avos, with the whole mesechta is miyusodes al tikun amidas, right? The whole pirkei avos is on tikun amidas. How does it begin? It's something else. The way that a Jew works in anger or laziness or jealousy, or the way that a Jew works in his taivas, he works at that in a different way. It's not the same way that someone that didn't receive the Torah works on it, on all of these things. Therefore, Pirkei begins with Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai. Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai, it's a different sugi of a human being, a Jew. Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai, it's ponim b'ponim, diba Hashem imachim. Every tikkun amidas has to come from there, from where Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai. How we daven, Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai. How we keep Shabbos, Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai. Everything is from that maimed, HaSinai of what? Of Yom Chasanoso, of Anila Doidi V'Doidi Li, of Panam B'Panam Diba Hashem Imachem, of Ahavti Eschem, Yadati Eschem, Eschem Yadaiti. That's every single thing that we do as Jews its sherish has to be from that place, not as another person, but just we have all these rules and regulations, and if we don't keep it this way, if we violate that, if we don't do this, we're going to get patched. Mishom tzarech lias avaydas hazikach shal midas agayva v'kin v'tayva chavayim, all of the midas kin v'tayva chavayim, all from this mahalach of Yom Chasunasa Roimimus zu shal klal Yisrael. This exaltedness, Roy Muzusha Klayasa, Vachalinyan Hagilui Shematan Torah, that comes from this Gilui, this revelation of Matan Torah. Nizgala Vachayzer Alatsam Vachal Chagashuas, obviously, on the Yantar of Shuas in particular, that's all happening again in a very powerful way. This Torah was said by Shuas. Vaoz Mekabma Adduchusi Ilah Haboam Yarabayan Shalom. Then we receive that the chusa ilam is that tahara el yoyna, that supernal or exalted pureness. The chusa ilah haboah me'abon shalom de'abon shalom dips all of Klai Yisrael into a mikveh. The chusa ilah ha'ayna shichayin l'achshay b'tzura acharis. That a Jew should be able to think in a matan Torah dika way. A Jew should think in a Har Sinai dika way, in a neshama dika way. It's a different way of thinking. It's like we learned the first thing from the Piyus Etzna, that I want to convert, I want to be a Jew. That's what it means. That's what the Rebbe was talking about. In every single thing to be a Jew, in every single thought, every word, and every action. It's a different way of thinking. It's the way of thinking that a niver eloki, that a godly creature thinks in a different way than a physical creature. Someone who's godly thinks differently than a physical being. Thinks differently. So I don't mean to say this chalila. Anything I'm saying is not to critique individuals, but I know now, like, you have this whole thing with during the 9 days or the 3 weeks. I don't know if people actually do this. I can't believe people do it in the night. Maybe I'm wrong, but they have music without music, a cappella, the music without music. So you want to say, is it osir? Is it mutter? If you're in that parasha of osir mutter by that music, it means you just missed the wedding. That's all. What wedding did you miss? You missed Matan Torah. I don't care if you could find a list of 5,000 poskim that say that you're allowed to listen to that during the 3 weeks. You missed the wedding. You just don't get it. You don't get it. Because the guy's standing there popping his mouth and making sounds like that. And so you shouldn't have the Mesirus Nefesh. Listen to the Mesirus Nefesh. to go without some noise. Anyway, 99% of the music is stam goyish trash. To go for 3 weeks without listening to that noise, you have to have some noise, or else what? You're going to have to go for therapy if you didn't have noise for 3 weeks. It's not even Jewish, the music anyway. Most of it, it's not even Jewish. So they have to have a cappella, they have to have something, and then you could get poskim to sign to say that it's mutter to listen to this. You missed the chasna. Were you over an isser? Maybe not. Maybe not. Let's say. Halavai not. But you missed the chasana. It's a different way of thinking. It's a different way of thinking. He's thinking, is that what the Kodesh Baruch Hu meant? Is that what he meant? It's thinking, what does the Shem's Baruch, what is it? To think as a godly person. Not as a behemoth. A behemoth can't give up music for 3 weeks. A behemoth. Well, I have to have a cheshbon that I should listen to this kind of music. Because I can't be without the music for 3 weeks. Because that's my mysterious nefesh for what? Fakadosh Baruch Hu. And then you sit there at Tisha B'Av and you go watch five movies on Tisha B'Av about Jewish suffering, about the Holocaust and about this. And for the whole Holocaust and for the whole Churban Beis HaMikdash, you couldn't be Meichel on a couple of stupid songs for 3 weeks. Think about it. And they're all good people. But where does it come from? It comes from a Yiddishkeit without God. It comes from a Yiddishkeit without any relationship with the Borei Olam. There's no inyan of Elokus. It's a matter of can I or can't I. If I can, then what are you coming to make my life difficult? Get off my case. That's how the kids talk. Why are you on my case? Get off my case. Why? Who made you so from? What's wrong with it? I heard that Rav So-and-so said that it's that the music is allowed. Alza Hayadavi Libani, what are you supposed to say? And if you don't want to listen to this music, I might go off the derech, by the way. I just wanted to tell you that. If I don't get the green light to do this, I might go off the derech. Huh? Yeah, who knows what, Chalila? Who knows? If I don't get to Hetter, what's going to happen to me if I can't listen to this music for 3 weeks? Yeah. Where does that brand of Judaism come from that our grandparents never heard of? That brand of Judaism comes from a new Judaism that has all of the trimmings of Yiddishkeit, it just doesn't have God in it. It's without God. So, does God exist? If you ask the guy, that's clapping his hands and snapping his fingers to a cappella music, I don't mean the musicians. I'm assuming they're getting some money for that at least. I'm talking about to the people who are listening to it. You ask him, do you believe that God exists? He says, Zicha God. You ask him, what do you think I'm a? You think I'm a kaifa? I don't believe in God. And then he might even take out some scientific proofs that God exists. But then, do you think this is something gives nachas ruach to the Rebbeinu Shlom? This is what it's about. Is this what it is? This is what Hashem's Baruch had in mind. This is the tzur of a Jew. And I'm only giving one example because it's now Erev Tisha B'Av. But is this the tzur of a Jew? It's a different way of thinking. It's a whole different way of thinking. The dugma is zohu mashirayim shemishu goda bayrayis yeish lamin moich vihiluch machshava achel gamrei. He says that you see a person is very careful when it comes to inyanim of arayis of men and women. These things, a person is very pure in these things. He lives a different life. You know, it's not which program on the computer. You know, again, which am I allowed to? Which am I? He's pure. He stays totally away from these things. Again, it's the same inyan. If a person is not a chosim kalu like a Kadosh Baruch Hu, then you'll see that the same way now they have OU and chavkei and sachdis and all these other things that they're going to have on websites, OUs and chavkeis. It's going to be the same thing. So he's going to have to look on the thing to see which website has a chavkei and okay. You missed the chasana. You missed the chasana. All of this. L'mishach hashom ena god b'arayis ein yichon levar leklal. How do you have one person that his whole life he was pure, never went to anything bad, never saw a bad movie, never looked at anything bad, was always 100% loyal and faithful to his wife and so on. For him to have a discussion with a person who's running around, it's two different worlds. The faithful person to the unfaithful, they're two different worlds. They can't talk to each other. They don't have the same vocabulary. Even though this one's married, that one's married. And this one wears a yarmulke, that one wears a yarmulke. They're two different worlds. Two different worlds. And it goes on to different and higher and higher madrigals. Now skip, because I'm just nervous we're not going to get to the end. Skip to page 11. Derech HaChassidus. Because what we're skipping is where he goes really into Shavuos stuff, which if you have time, it's very kedai to see. He talks about the Nina of the 49 days, and the Saita, and the... it's very, very important. It has to do with the faithfulness and unfaithfulness as it relates to Sfiras HaOmer. But it's very Sfiras HaOmerdik, because he said the Torah Shavuos. So, I don't want to get bogged down in that, as important as it is, because it's going to take us a little away from the Nekuda Pnimus of what we're learning. So on page 11, Derech HaChassidus, Avaidas V'Gilui HaChalokim and Arlim Shaladim. Now we can begin to understand what is exactly the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, what came to the world of Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh? What's different? What changed? Zehu Derech HaChassidus, Bechlal, Lavoid al achalokim analim v'amiromim shel ha'adam. The way of Chassidus, the teachings of Chassidus, focus exclusively on man's greatness, on the greatness of a Jew, on the madrigas of Nishmas Yisrael. The Yesh L'zeh Shaychus L'chag HaShavuos, and it's not a coincidence that the day that Hashem Yisbarach gave us the Torah is the yahrzeit of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. In the light of the Baal Shem Tov is shining very strongly on that day of Maimon HaSinai. Because at the end of time, when Hashem Yisbarach saw that we're barely holding on with Torah and Mitzvahs anymore, and that we lost that relationship of Yom Chasun also, and we're just, when I say we, I mean, obviously we're always tzaddikim, but as a people, we were just trying obediently to go on, to somehow continue keeping things without any feeling, without any heart. So Hashem Yisbarach sent into the world the neshama of the Baal Shem Tov. And that's why the yahrzeit of the Baal Shem Tov is on Shavuos. Shara yomi dehilula shel Baal Shem Tov u'b'Shavuos. The yahrzeit of the Baal Shem Tov and David HaMelech is on Shavuos. The derech ha-chassidus b'chloloi, and in general, the way of chassidus, is to bring out, to draw out the higher and the more exalted chalokim of who we are, to bring that out. Chelek ha-neshama shalai, the whole yisod of chassidus is how to somehow bring out our neshamas, to come into contact with nishmas Yisrael. That's the whole chassidus aragalachas. Shuchelek elokom imal, for a Jew to know that you're a chelek elokom imal. I just heard something today that if I wouldn't tell you now, then I would forget to share it with you. But I heard something from a friend of mine this morning. I have a friend of mine, we're friends for almost 50 years. And his only son, was just today entered into the army after being in Hesdi Yeshiva. He's in Hesdi Yeshiva for a few years. He went to the army. And my friend was very, very emotional. And he called me this morning. We were talking about it. And there was somebody at that ceremony when the Chevra, it was all from boys. They're all going to be with tanks to learn. So that whole from Chevra, so there was a Rav there that was speaking to them and giving them chizuk. And he said that he said over a conversation that he had when he was young, a conversation that he had with Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Everybody here heard of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. So there was a girl in seminary who reported to me this year, before I tell you what happened with Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, a girl reported to me that her teacher in seminary in Yerushalayim, when the girl said that they loved to see on Friday night the soldiers at the Kaisel, that there were soldiers there, the teacher came down very, very strongly, that these are Mechalei Shabbos, and so on and so forth. Even though they said there were some of them with the yarmulkes, the teacher spoke very, very negatively against the soldiers. Very negatively. And how, I mean, these were not girls that are looking to have boyfriends, you understand? I don't remember the exact nusach, but the nusach was very upsetting nusach, the way the teacher spoke. Very upsetting nusach. And the girls, a number of the girls were upset, and I'm very proud that there was one in particular, one girl that stood up a little bit, but they were very upset about the whole way that it was given over. Very negative. So today, this friend of mine told me that this Rav said that as a bocher, he he went to speak to Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach to ask Reb Shlomo Zalman, he was in yeshiva by Reb Shlomo Zalman, the Talmud, and he asked, is it okay for me to go up north to go to Kivrei Tzadikim? To spend time, to take off a few days to go daven by Tzadikim, by the graves. And Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said, you have time when you're older, better you should stay in yeshiva now. You don't have to go to Kvaris now. So he said that he asked Reb Shlomo Zalman, but he said, but Rebbe, it's a very big thing. I saw in this farm, and Rebbe, he asked Reb Shlomo Zalman, don't you go to daven by Kivrei Tzadikim? So Reb Shlomo Zalman's yeshiva is in Beit Vagan, right? So Reb Shlomo Zalman answered, this is my friend told me that he heard of the thing. Reb Shlomo Zalman answered, he said, when I want to go to Kivrei Tzadikim, and it doesn't take time, I walk 5 minutes and I go to Mount Herzl, I daven by the soldiers. That's what he said. Reb Shlomo Zalman said, I go to daven by the soldiers' graves, by the Chayalim. I daven by Kivrei Tzadikim. That's where I go. That's what he said. Now, of course, you say this, and this will come out in the newspapers. It never happened. He never said it. And whoever said such a thing is a Rosh, is not because. But anybody who ever saw Reb Shlomo Zalman, who knows that, who Reb Shlomo a little bit knows that it's 100%. It's 100% on line with the way the man was. 100% who the person was. Of course, there's a lot that's been going on right now to rewrite all of these biographies and to change these tzaddikim into a certain mold, to put them into a certain mold. You understand, everything that came out from Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was, every single thing was the anishmas Yisrael, the greatness of a Jew, what's beautiful in a Jew, what's exalted in a Jew. That doesn't mean to say that Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said halal on Yom HaAtzmaut. You understand, that's not the point. That's not the point. The point is that he saw in those boys, Mesiris Nefesh, the Jewish boys, and they gave their lives up for other Jews. And this teacher is sitting someplace in Yerushalayim. She grew up someplace, I don't know where, in Bensonhurst, and she moved to Yerushalayim on her in-law's money, and she goes, sits in an apartment, and she goes to tell these little girls about the soldiers no good. Where did she get such poison from? She's probably a beautiful person. Where's that poison? Where's that negativity? Where's that way of looking at Jews, looking down at Jews, not seeing the nekuda of Kedusha in a Jew? Everything about the Baal Shem Tov was that point of elokus in a Jew, and how to capitalize on that elokus, how to draw out the nishmas Yisrael, the elokus to bring out chelak haneshamish uchelak elokam imal ukshaavdu al tikun amidus v'chadayim hayakol ba'ifan al merem. The Baal Shem Tov, one more minute. The Baal Shem Tov, of course, also said we have to work on amidus. You can't. You have to work on anger, and you have to work on jealousy, all of the midas. But it's a different program. This is the program that we're learning now. It's a different program. It's not that you have to understand that you have inside of you. You have inside of you your Rasha Marusha. You're disgusting, you're low, you're filth. Every second of your life, the devil is waiting to take your soul. And you're just barely holding on for dear life. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh went totally away from that. And all the time, Yehoshua Hashem went completely away from that way of talking. Totally, completely away from that. The ikur is chelik that a yid has a chelik elokam imal, and you're a chasm kala. A chasm kala, you know what you are, and you know the Rebbein Yishalom loves you, and you know he wants to be with you upon him upon him. A person like you, it's a different person, a different way to think, a different way to act. You don't have to tell, you don't have to spend years talking to the girl about her sleeves and her stockings. You talked about what it means to be a Bas Yisrael, a Nishmas Yisrael, what it means in Neshama, what it means in a Nefesh Ruach Neshama. What does it mean, a Yid? What's a Yid? The Mimela, those clothing that are not nice will be to her girl Nefesh. She wouldn't want to look at the clothing that are not nice. It would be so far from who she is. That was a different Mahalach. If you understand what a Yid is, the Yid is far removed from anger and jealousy. Be'etzem who a Yid is. Like we were learning about jealousy and the need of Makar HaBracha, and to be connected to the Makar HaBracha, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Kaas is to be connected to Dveikus Bashem, and Kaas takes a person totally out of that Dveikus Bashem. V'chein chelek ha-Torah shebachsidus b'nuya al pnimis ha-Torah. And all the Torah in Chassidus is built upon the pnimis of Torah, meaning Rabbi Shimon Yochai, the Zohar Kodesh, and the Kisvei Ari. Nishmasa deraisa, the Gufei ha-Torah. It's all addressing, it's all coming from the Neshama of Torah. Nishmasa deraisa. The hidden Torah is the Neshama of Torah. And the Neshama of Torah is constantly, constantly speaking to the Neshama of Jews. Mechlal, called Derech Achsidus, Miyusar al Pisaidus, Neshmasa Deraisa, Neshmasa Torah. And the whole way of Chassidus is built on that, on what? On Nishmas HaDeraisa, on the soul of Torah, and on the soul of a Jew. That's the whole Chassidus is built on that Nakuda, of how to have a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and to speak to the Neshama of a Jew, and by speaking to the Neshama of a Jew, to bring that person, that Neshama, out in the person, so that Mimela, all the things that don't become a Jew, are going to be so obviously wrong and so distasteful that you'll stay far removed. You're not going to have a special thing to say that this music is mutter, this is also, or this is, or this website is mutter, this is also. A person, a Jew, feels be'etzem. The same way that Chofetz Chaim wouldn't need such a thing. Be'etzem, this is or this isn't. It's because of who a person is, in the essence of who he is, that he's a Jew, he's a Nishmas Yisrael. Shkayach.